Okay, today we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We are holding already on the second line of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We were in the middle of discussing sleeping underneath a kila, which is a type of canopy, while you're in a sukkah. So yesterday we had one version of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel and what he said about sleeping in a canopy in the sukkah. We had Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying that you're allowed to sleep in a kila in the sukkah, even if it has a roof, as long as it's less than 10 tefachim high. Now says the Gemara, Lishna Achrina Amrila, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mutar Lishma Kilas Chasanim B'sukkah, Lefi She'ein Lagag, Aval Pisha Gavoa Asara. So he said the opposite, that only if it doesn't have a roof, but it doesn't matter how high it is, it could be higher than 10 tefachim. So whereas on Yudam and Beis, Rabbi Damar Shmuel said, you can sleep in a kila, even if it does have a roof, but only if it's less than 10 tefachim, this version of Rabbi Yudam Shmuel says, you can sleep in a kila when it's the opposite, only when it doesn't have a roof, but it could be as high as you want it to be. So the Gemara challenges, but didn't we learn that if you sleep in the kila, you're not Yotze Yurchi of sukkah, and aren't we talking about l'chora this kind of kila that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel permitted? So Gemara says no. Hachem Eskin b'sheish l'gag. When do we say you're not yotze if it has a roof? That price is talking about if it has a roof. Tashma will bring another rayon, another kasha. Naklitin shnayim v'kinofos arba'a. Naklitin are bedposts that are two in total, that one at each end, whereas kinofos are where there are four bedposts, one on each corner. Pires al gabi kinofos psula. If you spread a cloth over the kinofos, so it makes like a flat tent over the bed, it's puzzle. But al gabi neklitin kshera. If you put it over the neklitin, it's kosher. Vashli neklitin kvah min amita asar tfachim. Provided that the neklitin are not more than 10 tfachim high. Ooh, but what does that imply? Hagvah min amita asar psula. If it's more than 10 tefachim high, it's going to be possible, even though there's no roof, because it's naklitin. Naklitin, by definition, create like a triangular tent, which do not have a roof. So it says, well, no, shiny naklitin de kavi'i. Naklitin is worse, meaning even though it doesn't have a roof, it's worse than a normal canopy, because it's kavua. So it says, well, I kavi'i lahavi kikinofos. If it's kavua, then it should be possible if it's even less than 10 tefachim tall, like kinofos. So Gemara says, legabi kinofos lo kvi, legabi kila kvi'i. When you compare it to kinofos, it's not as kavua as kinofos, and therefore it's not going to be possible when it's less than 10 tefachim. But when you compare it to a kila, it's more kavua than a kila. So therefore, these naklitin are going to be possible if they're 10 tefachim, even without a roof, whereas a kila is only possible if it's 10 tefachim, tall, if it has a roof. And if it doesn't have a roof, it's going to be totally fine. Says Mar Dorish Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Mutzu Lishan B'Kila Af Pli Sheish L'Gag. A person is allowed to sleep in a kila, even if it has a roof, Af Al Pi Shekava Asara, and even if it's 10 Tfachim Tol, meaning even if it's Tartil Rei, so against both versions of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, even if it's a roof and it's very tall, you're allowed to sleep in it in the sukkah. Kiman, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Lo Asi Ol Arai, Umavatal Ohel Keva. This must be assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that an Ohel Arai is not going to overpower an Ohel Keva. So whereas your sukkah is an Ohel Keva, the fact that you're under a canopy, that canopy is only an Ohel Arai. So we could ignore the Ohel Arai of the canopy in favor of the sukkah. Ditnan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noagin Ayinu Lishan Tachas Amita Bifnei Hazaken. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, we used to have the minog that we would sleep under a bed in front of the Zakenim, and that was no problem. Why? Because the bed is an Ohel Arai. So even though the bed was covering them, but that was only an Ohel Arai, and the sukkah itself was an Ohel Keva, so you could ignore the bed and pretend that you're sleeping under the sukkah. Says the Gemara, Velema Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't we just say that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning why did Rabba Bar Rav Huna say, as if he's making his own din, that you're allowed to sleep under a canopy, even if it has a roof and it's 10 tefachim tall? Just say, Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So, Iyamar Lach Rabbi Yehuda, Avamina Hanimili Mita Delegaba Asuya. If he would have said that Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought, yeah, it's mutter to sleep under a bed, bed, because a bed isn't really an ohel at all. Meaning, even though bed, if you sleep under the bed is covering you, but that's not what a bed is made for. A bed's not made to cover the person who's under the bed. It's made to be on top of it. Aval kila delatocha asuya, but a canopy is meant to shield the person inside of the canopy. Emalo, I might think that that's not okay. Kamash milan, taimed rabbi yudah delasi olarayim vatal keva, lo shnamita, v'lo shnakila. Therefore, it has to tell us that the real reason for rabbi yudah is no olaray, cannot be mevatal no keva, and therefore you could sleep under any type of enclosure in your sukkah, whether it be a bed or whether it be a canopy. So main point number one over here would be a second version of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that sleeping in a kila is okay as long as it doesn't have a roof, no matter how tall it is. And then we had Rabba Bar Rav Huna held that you're allowed to sleep even if in a kila, even if it does have a roof, and it's 10 tefachim tall, because we assume like Rabbi Yehuda, that lo asi ohel arai umevatel ohel keva. Good, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah about tzchach. Hidlo le es hagefen, ves hadlas, ves hakisom, v'sichich al gaba psula. Let's say you run some grapevines or some other items that are still attached to the ground over the top of your sukkah, and then you put tzchach on top of it. So it's possible. V'imha yisikur charbi mehen, but if you have more tzchach than the stuff that's mechubel karka, o shekatzitzan, or you cut the stuff that was mechubel karka, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Zaklal, kolshu mekabel tuma, anything that itself is mekabel tuma, ve'ein gidula min ha'aretz, or doesn't grow from the ground, ein mesachin bo, you're not allowed to use a schach. But v'kol davar she'einu mekabel tuma, but anything that's not mekabel tuma, ve'gidula min ha'aretz, and does grow from the ground, mesachin bo, one is permitted to use a schach. Yosef, Rav Yosef kameh derav, so I guess the Mishnah gives the rules for schach kasher. I mean, this will be the main point. The Mishnah gives the rules for schach kasher, that it's got to grow from the ground and not be mekabel tuma. Yosef, Rav Yosef, kameh de Rav Huna, v'yosef ka'amar. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he was sitting, and he was learning our Mishnah, he was teaching our Mishnah, and he was saying, o shekatzitzan k'shera, that the way to make your grapevines that are run over the sukkah kasher is either if it's schach, more schach than the grapevines, or you cut the grapevines. Vamarav tzaruch l'naneya. And Rav says, you can't just cut them, you also have to shake them a little bit. Amalei Rav Huna, ha-Shmuel amara. Didn't Shmuel say that? Rav's not the one that said that you have to shake it a little bit. It was Shmuel who says that you have to shake it. Adrin Rav Yosef la'apei va'amalei. Atu mikamina lach de lo amra Shmuel. Amra Rav v'amra Shmuel. What, did I ever tell you that Shmuel didn't say it? I told you that Rav said it. So guess what? Both Rav and Shmuel said it. Amalei Rav Huna hachi kamin alach. No, this is what I was trying to tell you. De Shmuel amara v'lo Rav. That no, Shmuel said it and not Rav. De Rav achshurei machshir. Rav would say that it's kosher without shaking it. Ki yada Rav Amram Chasida. Because it's similar to the story of Rav Amram Chasida. That what happened with Rav Amram Chasida? Rama tchilta leparzuma. He would put tzitzis on the talus of his wife, because he held that Laila is Zman tzitzis, meaning that you have to wear tzitzis both day and night, and therefore it's a mitzvah sasei she'en azman grama. Tzitzis is not a mitzvah she'azman grama that women will be parted from, it's a mitzvah she'lo azman grama, and women are also chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So he would put tzitzis on his wife's garment. What do you do with the fact that it says u're'isem oso, that you need to see them? Doesn't that imply that it's a daytime mitzvah? No, that implies that blind people are parted from the mitzvah. So that was his shita, that Rav Amram Chasida would put on tzitzis on his wife's baguette. And when he did it, talan velo pasak rashi chutin shalahen, he would hang the strings on the baguette, but he wouldn't cut the strings apart to make them kosher until after they were on the baguette. So where am I? Yeah, asal kamedir of chia barashi amalei hachi amarav mafsukin vehein ksherin. That all you have to do is cut them to make them kosher, and then they're automatically kosher. You don't have to retie them. It's not a violation of tasav lo menasui. Alma, psikasan zuyasiyasan, just by cutting the string from what it's attached to, and therefore creating what looks like kosher tzitzis, that's called the asiyas hatzitzis, and that's perfectly fine. It's not a violation of tasav lo menasui. So hachanami over here also by the schach, ktzitzasan zuyasiyasan. You have the grapevines that are running over the sukkah, just cut them, and the cutting itself is the asiyas haschach. Wait, you mean to tell me that Shmuel, who requires shaking the schach a little bit after you cut it, would say that by the tzitzis you have to do something else, and that just cutting the thread is not called the asiyas hatzitzis? V'atani Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya hita l'shnei kronos basachas v'achar kach pasak rashi chutin shalen ksherin ma'ilav shech kosher v'ach kach posek. But isn't Shmuel the one that said that if you tie the strings onto the tzitzis in such a way where the strings on two of the corners are connected to each other, and therefore it's not kosher yet, and then you cut them so the strings of the two corners are not connected to each other, it's then going to be kosher? So doesn't that imply that all you need to do to qualify for asiyas hatzitzis is the cutting, is the cutting the strings? So too by the schach, shouldn't you say the same thing? So says Gemara, lo, you're misunderstanding the case where Shmuel allowed by the tzitzis. Case was sheposek va'achar kach kosher, that first it was cut and then he tied them. Wait, if that was the case, that he first cut them and then tied them, what's the great chiddush? Of course that's going to be kosher. No, the chiddush is, be'inan knaf, b'shas psil, the leka, that you need a corner at the time that you actually wind the tzitzis. You might think you need the strings to already be kosher at that time, and you don't have that, because your posek, that you're posik before you do the final kshira, but it's after you did the winding, after you did the psil. So come out Shmuel. That's why it has to tell me that that chiddush that Shmuel holds that it's kosher, even though you don't have a knaf b'shas psil. So main point over here would be that we have machlokas whether you need to be minaneya the schach after cutting it, and there's a parallel case in Hilchos Tzitzis. Whether it's good enough to just cut the tzitzis to make them kosher. So we will stop there, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up next time with Meisvei, and what we're going to have is three challenges to the opinion about Tasav Lo Menasui, to Rav's opinion about Tasav Lo Menasui by the schach, that Rav said that you don't need to shake it, you could just cut the vines, and that's good enough. So we're going to have three challenges to that shita, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up with that next time.